You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears have their fingers crossed that David Montgomery's non-contact injury at practice won't be season-ending. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast, brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we will hear from head coach Matt Nagy with the latest update on the groin injury suffered by David Montgomery. We'll take a look at some of the different free agent running back options that are available if the Bears feel the need to bring in another veteran off the streets. And then we'll wrap up with some thoughts from Tariq Cohen on what held him back last season and why he thinks 2020 will be different. When David Montgomery went down at Bears practice on Wednesday, the initial wording wasn't great. Non-contact, lower body injury, carted off the field. As it turned out, wasn't as serious or doesn't appear to be as serious as that sounds. And eventually, I believe it was Dion Miller, one of the television reporters, tweeted out video of the actual moment when Tariq Cohen slipped during an individual drill. There was no one around him. There was no one that caused him to slip. His foot hit the grass funny, and he goes down. And very clearly, not a torn ACL or anything quite up to that extent. And it quickly was reported, and then Matt Nagy confirmed that it is a groin injury for the Chicago Bears' second-year running back. And the whole carted off of the field thing is a little bit overblown, too, because he was able to sort of limp and hobble off of the practice field to the sideline, and then he was carted back to the Chicago Bears' locker room because they were practicing on the field farthest away from Halas Hall, so it would have been a significant walk for him anyway if he wasn't injured. So, of course, throw him on the cart, don't make him do any extra walking that he didn't need to do until that groin could be evaluated. So it sounds like the Bears have avoided the worst case scenario, but according to Matt Nagy, they're still doing some tests and still trying to figure out just how severe this groin injury might be.
Matt, when David went out, what did you get out of evaluating the other running roster, Tariq, Cordero, Ryan, and Artavis?
You immediately for practice, you got to go ahead and it's those guys take the plays wherever 32 was. They jump in for him. And so you just keep moving on and that's all you can do. And when you have that mentality, it usually the guys stay positive and that's what we did today. So we have a lot of trust in all of our guys and just gives them more reps.
When you look at Tariq and Cordero, obviously they know your entire offense, but Can they do everything that you ask David to do, or are they slightly, to a degree, kind of matchup players in your system?
Yeah, they can. There's certain things that are their strengths, you know, versus what David does. I think we all know that. I mean, with Cordero, you know, still doing things with some wide receiver stuff within our system that we're doing, but yet playing some more running back and playing a lot more running back and being with them. You know, he's learning that stuff. And so these experiences we get probably doesn't do as well as David. David's been playing that position his entire life. And then 29, same thing, does a lot of good things. He has strengths and weaknesses back there. So when times like this happen and you have a guy in practice that's out, now sometimes you got to adjust and now you try to work to the strengths of those other players.
Matt, we've talked about what a bizarre preseason this is. Given that you've got to pass two COVID tests just to get in your building, and given that the season's 2.5 weeks away, is it possible if you do pursue depth to get whoever you bring in caught up in time for the season to start?
Yeah, it's possible. And then you got to make sure that whatever that is in any situation, regardless of this year, when something happens where you got to replace somebody, which we don't know if we're there yet or not, but if you do, then you got to be able to adjust a little bit with that position and make sure that who knows who it is and how it goes. But we as coaches got to do our job of making sure it's a smooth transition. And I know that we would end up doing that if that was the case, but that's really at all positions. But with the time being so close, you just have to be real careful with how much you would do.
If David Montgomery isn't going to miss significant time with this groin injury, then they don't need to go out and add another running back necessarily. But it does feel like they're a little bit thin in the backfield in terms of those lead backs that can do a little bit of everything. As they kind of touched on there, Tariq Cohen and Cordarrelle Patterson aren't necessarily suited to be that every down back. Both are valuable, both play important roles, but can't quite do some of the things David Montgomery can. And I'm not sure that the Bears are at the point now where they would trust Ryan Nall or the rookie Artavis Pierce to fully step into that role. So the Bears' actions from this point at the running back position will depend almost entirely on the severity of David Montgomery's injury. Like, if he's going to miss a game or two, maybe they can get by with the guys that they're going to have. But if it's more like a 6 or 8 week thing, then you might have to look outside of Halas Hall. Fortunately for the Bears, there are still some decent veteran running back options still available on the free agent market. We'll look at the top names, including a few that have connections to Bears coaches, next on Locked On Bears. When one player goes down, the Bears just step in with another part and everything keeps rolling. And if there's anybody that knows about parts stepping in, it's rockauto.com. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years with the most extensive, easy-to-navigate catalog I've ever seen. You just enter in the make and model of your vehicle, and then you can sort by all the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer for each individual type of part. And they've got everything, trust me. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, even just motor oil or new carpeting. So whether you're working on a classic car in the garage or you just want to soup up your daily commuter, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Just go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Ryan Pace currently has a healthy amount of salary cap space to work with, but I certainly wouldn't expect any kind of blockbuster trade at the running back position. I know the idea of Le'Veon Bell has been, I wouldn't even say speculated about, but just talked about by fans as something that would be fun to see, but I wouldn't expect anything of that caliber given the apparent lack of severity of David Montgomery's injury and still a long-term bright future for him in Chicago. If the Bears are going to sign anybody, it's kind of a short-term replacement thing, which would mean a free agent. And there's still some decent veteran free agents out there at this point. I mean, guys you're signing at the end of August aren't going to be superstar studs, and expectations should be relatively low. And so let's kind of remember the context of these players that are available. But still, it's not like you're scraping off the bottom of the barrel in terms of undrafted guys who have never played a down of NFL football before. The big name that gets thrown out there whenever a running back free agent discussion happens is Devonta Freeman from the Atlanta Falcons. A Pro Bowler back in 2015 and 16, he's been a 1,000-yard rusher, had 11 touchdowns in multiple seasons in Atlanta. Kind of trailed off at the end there and has kind of been picky about where he's going to go this fall, to the point now where we're kind of questioning, is he going to go anywhere at this point? He's talked about how he wants to go somewhere where they want to win and where it's the right fit and the right coaches, and maybe money is a factor in there, but there were reports that he turned down some offers from contending teams, and it's not really clear where things stand with him. But obviously sort of the top option there is a guy who's been an every down back in the NFL. Not going to be a sure thing given how he kind of struggled on the tail end in Atlanta, but the guy's still, 28 years old and has a lot still left in the tank, even if he's not going to be a stellar breakout option. But a few names sitting out there still that have some connections to the Chicago Bears coaching staff. The one that I mentioned right away on Twitter yesterday was Spencer Ware. And again, not the most impressive free agent running back around, but he was the Kansas City Chiefs running back with offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. And in particular, in 2016, he was their lead running back. 214 carries, 921 yards, 3 touchdowns, you know, a healthy 4.3 yards per carry. It was a situation where the Chiefs probably needed to do better at running back, and he's not a guy that, in an ideal world, you don't want Spencer Ware to be your every down guy, but an effective receiver out of the backfield. He has the opportunity and the ability to make some guys miss, but I think the criticism from a lot of Chiefs fans is just a little bit how easily he goes down. Then not a guy that, you know, he'll make you miss, but if you do make solid contact with him, he pretty well consistently goes to the ground. Think like Jeremy Langford when it comes to Spencer Ware. Not quite, you know, Langford was like a former receiver and converted to running back. Not quite the same in that regard, but in terms of the way he maybe goes down just a little bit too easy, but can make guys miss, it's some of the same type of a profile for Spencer Ware. Someone who you don't mind if he's your number two or number three running back because he can do some things, and obviously he will know this Bears offense about as well as any free agent could coming in at this point in August. And like we heard Matt Nagy say in the last segment, it's a compressed time period for these guys to get up to speed, so there might be extra value in a running back like Ware that would already know the offense pretty darn well, sort of the same value that Nick Foles brought in the quarterback competition. The dark horse name that has some Bears coaching staff connections is running back Jeremy Hill, and that might not be a name you've heard in a long time, but you might remember him as a second-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals in 2014. And he had a pretty dynamic duo with he and Gio Bernard in Cincinnati. If you are a fantasy football player, you'll definitely know about those two and the joys of the running back handcuff. But burst onto the scene as a rookie with 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. Still had a couple of pretty decent seasons after that, but injuries started hitting and he slowed down a bit and never quite was able to duplicate that rookie year success. Really trailed off in Cincinnati, touched on briefly with the Patriots in 2018, and then was completely out of the league last year. And it wasn't until a little bit earlier this summer that he actually signed on with the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think he was there for 3 days before the Raiders ended up waiving him. So there's something going on here with Jeremy Hill. And he is a long shot at this point, given he's had 4 NFL carries in the last 2 years. But he worked with Bears offensive coordinator Bill Lazor in Cincinnati. They had a lot of success together in Cincinnati. That was the only coach really that was able to get the most out of Jeremy Hill. And when you're talking about a late August free agent signing, somebody the coaching staff would have familiar with, maybe there's some value there. He's going to be a veteran minimum guy as is, so you don't have to break the bank on him. Spencer Ware probably in the same category, whereas Devonta Freeman going to be a little bit more expensive, presumably, given how long he's held out. But no denying that Jeremy Hill had quite a bit of talent, and the dude is still only 27 years old. He's not past the hill by any means, but some questions certainly about what level of quality Jeremy Hill you're going to get in 2020. A couple of other quick names just to throw out there for experienced, productive running backs that don't necessarily have the same type of connection, but just you kind of know what you're getting and what you're not getting. Isaiah Crowell, a guy who I believe sat or missed all of 2019 because of an Achilles injury he suffered in last offseason that pretty well slowed him down. And anytime you get a running back coming off of an Achilles injury, I understand being pretty hesitant about expectations for him. But a guy who was pretty consistent in Cleveland and New York, never a 1,000-yard rusher, but a solid, reliable go-to option, a little bit of a bigger back as well, 5'11", 225, that can handle those every down run between the tackles roles and still give you a little bit of something in the passing game. And then Bilal Powell, speaking of New York Jets running backs, a guy I didn't realize Bilal Powell has been in the NFL for like 10 seasons. He's already 31, but he has been a consistent number two type option who can step into some number one roles at times with the Jets, do some special teams as well, just do a little bit of everything and carry the ball fairly consistently when you give it to him. He's not going to be a huge, you know, breakaway big play running back, but he'll get you your 4 yards in a cloud of dust. And you're talking about a temporary replacement for David Montgomery. That fits the bill. At this point, given the move of Cordarrelle Patterson and some of the other talent the Bears have at running back, I'm not expecting any notable moves at that position unless the injury really comes back more severe than the Bears anticipated. And that'll mean a bigger role, at least in the short term, for Tariq Cohen. We'll hear from the explosive running back entering a contract year in terms of what he's expecting this season and why last season wasn't quite as good as he would have wanted. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. We can't always perform as well as we would want, and talking about things like erectile dysfunction isn't easy. You know, there's a stigma. We like to brush it off. We just don't like to talk about it. But with our friends at Roman, it's easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's safe, simple, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. Don't wait any longer. Take the first step. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Only two running backs in the NFL had more pass targets last season than Tariq Cohen, and yet it still felt like a disappointing season. 456 receiving yards, ranked 10th among running backs, and in terms of yards per reception, much farther down, and I believe just 5.6 for Tariq Cohen. I've got him at 45th in the NFL as a receiver, and we know running is sort of secondary in his skill set, but 213 yards on 3.3 yards per carry was, again, extremely disappointing from Tariq Cohen. And given the opportunity that he had in terms of targets, and even 64 carries is not nothing either, you know, there's some finger-pointing at Cohen for not making the most out of his opportunities, but I also think there's some finger-pointing belonging to Matt Nagy as well, given where those targets and catches ultimately came, a lot more behind, you know, in the backfield, or even compared to previous years when he is in the backfield, more covered as well, some check down stuff, not as much over the middle and downfield as you'd like to see from a player with Tariq Cohen's skill set. But he knows he needs to be better, and he knows why last season wasn't quite as good as it was supposed to be too.
When we talked to you in the offseason, you said that when you lined up a running back, you mostly had linebackers hitting you, and when you lined up in the slot, you mostly were going up against DBs. What do you think Jimmy Graham and Cole and Demetrius will do in kind of easing that pressure on you and giving you some better matchups this season?
I definitely feel like, you know, they will have a lot of tension on them, you know, being great targets in the passing game. So for the most part, you know, safeties and other DBs will have to honor them. And I think I will be mostly, you know, lined up against linebackers again.
Tariq, what excites you most about the revisions to the offense, whether it be some things you guys are doing in the running game or ways that you guys can, or you specifically can get freed up against linebackers in the pass game? And then also, secondly, how has David looked to you through this stretch of camp to this?
It's definitely the run game. I feel like we, you know, like from last year, I feel like we've gone 10 times better already. And it's just beginning. I feel like, you know, I'm still in with the run game, and Coach Juan's scheme that he has for us is going to, you know, work wonders for how me, David, CP, Ryan, and Artavius love to run the ball. So I feel like it's going to be great. And David has been looking amazing. You know, he plays with Chip on his shoulder anyway. So the way he runs the ball, you can always see, you know, how passionate he is about the game and where he's, you can see where he comes from in the way he runs.
Tariq, when you reviewed your season last year, were you sitting there upset with yourself about certain things, or what was it specifically that you thought, oh man, that doesn't look like me. That's something I could do better.
For the first part, I had a lot of things going on last offseason, and I really didn't concentrate and really grind the way I usually grind in the offseason. And I feel like that showed up a little bit towards the end of the season. My body started deteriorating a little earlier than it would normally do, and I didn't feel the same explosion that I would usually feel, the same speed and the same fire. You know, also having a losing season would make you feel that way, but ultimately I feel like it was the fact that I didn't have the best offseason that I could have had last year.
What do you have going on last offseason?
It was a whole lot of family issues back home. You know, some things I just don't want to talk about, but it's in the past now. We moved on. And I had a great offseason this year, and I'm ready to ball this year.
Tariq Cohen's another example of those situations where we don't have all the information on the outside, and not everything that's happening to him over the course of a season is directly measurable in terms of why things were struggling. So as much as we look for explanations in the scheme and his individual performances, having off-season family issues and not being able to be as prepared and trained as he would have liked to be is something that we couldn't know about at the time and certainly can't measure in any way on his performance. But the good thing is that that is behind him, like he said, and he feels much better about the off-season he's had, and that all lines him up for a much more successful 2020 season. That is sort of assuming everything else kind of goes smoothly in terms of another season of staying healthy and the offense getting some things going again, back on track. But it's a contract year. I mean, he's got a lot at stake this season, and I'm expecting a bounce back year from Tariq Cohen. It's not going to be 1,000-yard rushers or anything. Let's, you know, keep it in perspective. His career best was 2018, 100 carries for 444 yards and 71 catches for 725. If he can hit those kind of numbers again, I think the Bears offense will be in a pretty good shape. And if David Montgomery's going to miss a game or two to start the year, that's going to be even more opportunity for Tariq Cohen. I would imagine more opportunity for Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall as well. But I'm curious to see what Matt Nagy does differently with him this year, because we know, based on Tariq Cohen's comments, that we're going to have a different Tariq Cohen in terms of his body and his preparation and his speed and explosiveness and durability should be a little bit better based on his offseason. But we would also like to see a different, you know, run scheme and philosophy from this offense with offensive line coach Juan Castillo and offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. And we want to see Matt Nagy get Tariq Cohen in better matchups, and the tight end position improvements could have some factors in that. But I also want to see Tariq Cohen used even as a downfield receiver, like we saw some of in his rookie season. There's a post corner route in particular where he made a huge, I think it was a 70-yard catch downfield that was just beautiful and exactly what you want to see from Tariq Cohen that early in his career. So, you know, that's the types of things I'd like to see Tariq Cohen get back to that the coaching staff needs to be better about. But Cohen also needs to be better at running downhill north and south instead of going to the sideline. And he can't always go for the big explosive play. Sometimes you have to take the yards that are there in front of you. And I think he understands that and is in a much better place to be more productive this year. In the meantime, we'll be on the lookout for any and all David Montgomery injury updates, and you can be sure we'll bring you the latest as soon as we know it here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Given everything going on in the world right now, even not that far from Hallis Hall up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, with the shooting of Jacob Blake, it wouldn't stun me if the Bears ended up canceling a practice or two this week in response to so much of the rest of the sports world canceling things. And either way, we'll still have some great Bears talk for you, but we're also not going to skip over how important the fight for racial justice and equality is with everything going on, not only in Kenosha, but across the country where these systems of oppression have been in place for so long and marginalizing people of color, people that look like Jacob Taylor, people that look like Tariq Cohen, people that look like David Montgomery, and so many of our favorite athletes across all of sports. I commend them for the leadership that they've taken in these opportunities to use their platform to make change in the world, and I'm excited to see what type of change comes out of this. It's only when we have compassion, empathy, and are really able to come together that we can all truly bear down.